This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. At the bottom of the hour, I am going to be talking to one of my favorite cozy mystery writers, and it is going to be fun because her books are always fun. Sherry Harris will join us, and she has a new book called Let's Fake a Sale, and it is so funny. I started laughing on the first page, and my jaw hurt. So I'm really looking forward to talking to her. And in the studio, I have with me John Steffler. Hi, John. John is a poet, and he has written a book that is really heartwarming. As all of you know who listen to me, I love poetry. I do quite a few poets have been on my program, including the Poet Laureate of the United States, Juan Felipe Herrera. So I'm always thrilled to have a poet on, and he's going to read for us, which makes it really terrific. John, welcome to Joy on Paper. Tell us about your book.
The book is a collection of 56 different what I call short stories set in verse. And they cover a number of subjects from my family, a lot of that. But even though I'm talking about my family, what I'm saying there, just about anybody could relate to what I have to say about family, about the children, growing up, so forth. I also deal with some patriotic subjects. And just life in general, in some ways.
Okay, so tell us the title of the book, and then I want to talk about the cover.
It's called God, Family, Freedom.
And I want everyone to know that this is really it's a wonderful book, and I love the cover. The cover, I was telling John earlier that I had it out among a bunch of books that I always have a bunch of books around. But people gravitated to this cover. It's just very evocative. It has a lovely look. There's something about it. You say, I want to look into that book. It's an American flag, of course. And I'm going to put it up tomorrow on my website so people can see the cover. But it's now the book is only available at Barnes & Noble right now. Is that true?
Yes, through their website.
Through their website. Okay, but eventually I'm sure it'll get over to Amazon. But right now, and Barnes & Noble is a wonderful website. And as everybody knows, the community director from Barnes & Noble often comes on the program to talk about their wonderful selection of books. So Barnes & Noble and about their website, which is really great. So, John, tell us a little bit about yourself. Before I ask you to read some of your poems, tell us a little bit about your background. You are a veteran.
I'm a veteran. I served 1964 to 1966. I spent 12 months in Korea, came back. I got my commission as a second lieutenant through the ROTC program at a place called Pennsylvania Military College in Chester, Pennsylvania. After I worked, after the Army, I went to work for General Electric. And then eventually went out on my own as a manufacturer's agent selling safety equipment to industry. Retired and wanted to keep busy. And one of the things I used to do before I retired was I wrote for a local weekly newspaper. And that was a lot of fun. I wrote on a number of different subjects from humor to politics and so forth and so on. It's been a lot of fun. Been married for 53 years now to the lovely and gracious Linda. We had two children, and we have four grandchildren. They live a 10-minute walk from us.
Okay, that's good. And as I love to talk to veterans. I often have veterans who come on the program, and I encourage veterans to write because I think it is so wonderful to be able to get out of yourself or into yourself, either way, writing is just, I think, very therapeutic. But in your case, you know, you having been a columnist and having obviously a love for writing, when did you decide, have you been writing poetry all of your life, or you just started recently?
I guess you could say I started when I started writing country music.
Ah.
And the lyrics from country music, lyrics in my songs are basically poetry set to music. And I wrote that, and then I had wrote some columns, I Am America being one, that was printed as a op-ed piece in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in 2012. And I read that to a group of veterans that meet weekly at Bob Evans on 34th Street here in St. Petersburg. There are also a number of veterans who meet at some Bob Evans units. And there was a gentleman there who was a publisher, and he asked if I'd be interested in taking some of my poems and putting them into a book. And I said, sure, why not? And so I started writing.
Okay. Well, you know, I was going to say that to the end, but I decided let's go ahead and read that poem for us first.
I Am America.
Because yes. It is a very touching poem, and I think a great opening for the program.
Great. I lost my first child on the day I was born, on April 19th, 1775. I am America. He fell on the green at Lexington, his heart pierced by a British musket ball. Many more of my sons and daughters would fall on that day and in the years to come, until the guns grew still and peace came to me on that glorious day at Yorktown. 86 years later, my heart was nearly broken as my sons and daughters donned the blue and gray and took up arms against each other. At Manassas, Missionary Ridge, and elsewhere, my children fell, and I grieved. During this devastating time, my son Abraham Lincoln eloquently expressed my feelings at a place called Gettysburg when he pledged that those who had fallen shall not have died in vain, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. 52 years had passed when I was called upon to aid my cousins in Europe. This time, my children crossed the sea, and over there, at places like the Somme and the Meuse-Argonne, many gave their last great measure of personal sacrifice to stem tyranny's tide. In the 1940s, my children became embroiled in the biggest war the world has ever known. From a harbor called Pearl to Iwo Jima, Anzio, Bataan, and Bastogne, they fought and died that the peal of freedom's bell would not be stilled. And only then, when it was done, did Johnny come marching home again. In 1950, my loved ones were again off to stay tyranny's iron hand in a faraway place called Korea. At places with names like Pork Chop Hill and Heartbreak Ridge did my children again fight and die for freedom. And again, I wept for those who fell. In the 60s and 70s, my children took up arms in freedom's name. From the Mekong to the DMZ to a valley called the Ya Drang, many gave some and some gave all. The pride I have in them for the courage and sacrifice each made has never faded. Since Vietnam, more of my sons and daughters have given their all on freedom's behalf in places with equally strange-sounding names like Mosul, Fallujah, the Korangal Valley, and Helmand Province. There are those who hate me and what I stand for. Given the chance, they would snuff out the inseparable essentials of my existence, liberty, and freedom. They have different names and faces, but their nefarious goal remains the same, to destroy my children and me. Nothing made this so clear as the attack on September 11, 2001, when those dark forces ended the lives of nearly 3,000 of my children for the sole reason that they are Americans. For some, time passes and memories fade, but through all this, I tell you that I remember each of these, my children. The faces of those who fell at Bunker Hill are as fresh in my mind today as those who perished at Gettysburg, Chateau Thierry, Normandy, Pusan, Baghdad, and, yes, on United Flight 93. I know of the dreams each had for their family and those their family had for them. And where they now lie, be it in my bosom or in some distant land, makes no difference, as every name and face is forever etched in my mind and heart. No, I can never forget these, my children, for I am America, and I shall always remember.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It brings tears to my eyes. It reminds me of so many things. The mention of Normandy, of course, my father was at Normandy. A few days later, he received the Silver Star and a Purple Heart. And so it's just a very touching and beautiful, beautiful poem.
Thank
and
you.
I hope that people really should get this and read it on you know, 4th of July and Veterans Day, and just be reminded of the sacrifice that our veterans and have given over the years. And it also reminds me of Jackie Minetti, because you mentioned there the very beginning of the Revolutionary War. And she has written this wonderful book that I know that you've also read.
Yes.
It's called One Small Spark. And it is about a young boy who is actually the start of the Revolutionary War. And it's a fascinating book. And Jackie has been on the program a number of times. And she's also the one who introduced me to you, because she's so fond of your writing. And she sent me, you know, your story, and that's why I invited you today, because of Jackie.
That's great. Oh, she's a dear.
Isn't she? She
yes.
is, and her writing is excellent. And although One Small Spark is supposed to be for children, you know, 8 to 14 or so, it's a book that every adult should read. Don't you think so? It's a beautiful read.
Absolutely.
It's a really great read, and it really puts a lot of the... Sometimes when you're writing for children, you put things in perspective that perhaps the bigger books don't, and I just think that's a wonderful book, and so I was so happy when she sent you to me, because she knows that I love poetry in general, and your poetry is both touching and as poetry is, and it can either, you know, bring tears to your eyes or it can put a smile on your face.
Absolutely.
So, you know, let's have another poem. Before we get to, there's one poem that I asked you specifically to read, and the reason is BoucherCon 2019 is going to be in Dallas, Texas. And we had it here in October, and it was here at the Vinoy Hotel. It's a wonderful, wonderful occasion for mystery writers and mystery readers to get together to just celebrate mystery writing. And you wrote a poem here, and it's about denim, and the BoucherCon is going to be denim and diamonds. That's the theme for BoucherCon. And so I thought this one, which you actually wrote as a song lyric.
I did.
Okay, how about reading that one?
Okay, it's called Denim and a Diamond. She gave back my diamond and told me goodbye. It's a good life I'm needing, when I asked her why. She flew to L.A. with stars in her eyes and no room in her heart for one special guy. She used to wear denim. Now it's silk, lace, and pearls. Now it's bright lights and fame for a high-living girl. She gets standing applause from all of her fans, but it won't take the place of this good-loving man. She left denim and a diamond for silk, lace, and pearls. True love waits in Texas, but L.A.'s her world. She made a choice, my sweet country girl, between denim and a diamond or silk, lace, and pearls. Her friends in L.A. tell her she's got it made, but lately she's seen there's a price she will pay. Fame ain't forever and my love won't wait. Heard she's now asking herself if she made a mistake. She's seen bright lights grow dim as people grow old, found true love's the one thing eternal to hold. Early this morning, I picked up the phone and heard, "Cowboy, I love you, and I'm coming home to denim and a diamond, not silk, lace, and pearls." I told her I need her love here in my world. She'll run to my arms and again be my girl, wearing denim and a diamond, not silk, lace, and pearls.
Oh, I love that. I just love it. I would love to hear somebody put that to music. I think it would be a hit. It's really good because, you know, I had... Lang Martini on not long ago, and of course he's a great songwriter, and Do you sing? Do you ever?
Oh, no.
No, no. You're
a man has to know his limitations.
Well, maybe somebody will hear this poem and get inspired and put some music to it, because I think it would be a really fun song. Whew, yeah, I like it. When you were working with the veterans and meeting with them, they of course inspired you to write. And when you start now writing then about your wife and your family, these are very touching poems.
Yes, they are.
Some of them are difficult, but you know, for all of us, and it's funny when you read poetry, there is something in poetry. It's the way the words go together, that they can touch your heart and stay in your mind, and long afterwards you'll say, I had that feeling. I understand what that poet was trying to say, and remembering it can help you. So what poem would you like to read next?
I'd like to go back in time, if you will, to what I call Those Were the Days.
Ah, okay.
The 40s and 50s were a time I can't forget. Back then, we had no cell phones nor an internet. We didn't spend hours texting on a cell phone. Back then, we had Monopoly. Nope, no Game of Thrones. TV sets in the 40s were small, no shows in color, just black and white TV, as there really was no other. You would spend some evenings listening to the radio. The Lone Ranger and The Shadow were two favorite shows. Each day at public school began with a Bible verse and prayer, this before the court sided with Madeline Murray O'Hare. They declared prayers said in school were now unconstitutional. From that day forth, the court's decisions became irrational. Respect for self and others was our family rule. Ring-a-leave-o and dodgeball were what we played at school. These games that we once played were nixed by schools today, afraid a child might hurt themselves and the board would have to pay. At home, we entertained ourselves playing outside. In our youthful dreams, we'd ride the range far and wide. Roy Rogers was our hero, Gene Autry and Lash LaRue. Movies were 50 cents. Honest, I swear, that's true. I can still remember when a circus came to town, in a tent across the street with tumblers, tigers, and clowns. Ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages, the ringmaster announced, as tumblers tumbled, jugglers juggled, and walkers on tight ropes bounced. There was cotton candy, popcorn, and rides aplenty, and a Ferris wheel where you could ride for just a few pennies. There were games of chance where you might win a prize that we could never win finally came as no surprise. When winter came, there was a lake a short walk away where we would go when ice was thick, and there we'd skate all day. At night, a fire was built on the shore to keep us warm. Nearby, a passing train blew a forlorn sounding horn. The trains that rode along those tracks were driven by coal and steam. I can still smell the smoke and cinders some nights in my dreams. My brothers, Dad, and I would walk along the tracks. We'd pick up coal that fell from trains, putting it in gunny sacks. We'd take the coal back home, dropping it in our coal bin. It was a way to save a buck when money was a little thin. Dad would stoke the furnace. The coals would burn and glow. That's how we warmed ourselves in our home years ago. When we went shopping out of town, we never locked our doors. Back then, it was a trusting time for neighbors, ours and yours. We held a deep respect for those patrolling our streets. It was yes, sir, and no, sir to the cop who walked the beat. Drugs we bought were purchased at our neighborhood drug store, not something gangs would fight over and start a shooting war. Firearms were used for hunting in our woods out back. Our military carried guns to protect us from attack. Doctors then made house calls. They'd drive up to our door. They had a bag with pills for fever or to cure a throat that's sore. If you had something serious, they had shots for your behind. Those shots might sting, but you got better, so you really didn't mind. These are but a few memories that still give me pleasure, pictures etched there in my mind that I'll forever treasure. Of course, with every passing day, new memories I'll find, but they will never replace those like these that time has left behind.
Wow, that is a moving poem. Oh, I love that one. You know, it's funny, many of the things that you mentioned there, that's for the 30s and 40s, right? 40s and 50s?
Mm-hmm.
I come from Northern Michigan, and we are behind the times. I can tell you, just a few years ago, we went up there, and we had to drive. We had to drive 3 miles up a hill to get cell reception. So, Michigan, Northern Michigan, and we're called Youpers up there. We have always gotten things very late. Television came late. Cell phones are still. They still have a problem. So many of the things that you mentioned there are things that in the 60s and 70s, we were still, the UP was still like that. So some of that is very familiar to me. And it's so funny. I drive to the studio through a beautiful neighborhood, beautiful houses, absolutely gorgeous. And I drive all the time here. And only one time have I seen children playing outside.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after 4.5 years of driving to the studio. And it occurred to me when I saw those kids playing outside, three kids, a boy and two girls. The older girl was reading a book on the lawn, and the boy was throwing a ball to his little sister. You could see he was trying to be really nice about it. And I slowed down and I stopped. I thought, people are going to, call the police. Somebody's looking at children. And they were beautifully dressed. So I realized as I'm driving away, I don't think those were American kids. I think they were visitors, maybe from, some Eastern bloc country or something. Because you never see. We have these houses with 5 bedrooms, lots of kids, and you never see a kid
outside. That's right.
It's so funny. And they're missing so much, and they just don't know it. Because I lived the entire summer in the Upper Peninsula, we lived outside. I mean, in the morning, we went out with our Kool-Aid and peanut butter sandwiches, and we didn't come back until supper time. So I just love the poem because it reminds you of those days. Well, I don't have much time. I have to, to go to my next guest, but I would like to invite you back in February, I'm doing a Valentine's Day program. I'm going to have poets on to read their love poetry.
Love to do it.
So will you be back?
Love to do it.
Okay. Well, that's just wonderful. And explain how people can get to your website.
I don't have a website.
Well, not website.
But the best, if they're interested in purchasing a copy of God, Family, Freedom, it's very easy. Go under your computer, into your search engine. Again, this is only available through Barnes & Noble on their website. Just simply go to your search engine, put in God, Family, Freedom, John Steffler, and that's spelled Stoeffler. Again, God, Family, Freedom, John, John, Stoeffler.
And I will also put a link up on my webpage tomorrow. Again, John, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been wonderful to listen to your poetry, and I will be talking about it when I go to BouchaCon. I'll be talking about the denim one, and we'll have you back in February for Valentine's Day.
I'd love it. Thank
you. Okay, and we can talk about your wife and your love and your love poetry, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much for joining me today here in the studio on Joy on Paper. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to commercial, then we'll be back with Sherry Harris. Okay, thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I have been having so much fun with John Steffler, who was reading his poetry, and now I am back, and I am laughing because I am thinking about a woman I think about quite often. You know, sometimes I interview a lot of writers, and, you know, I remember their books, and then, you know, I forget about them for a month or years until they come out with another book. But this is an author who I think about so often. Every time there's a beautiful, sunny Saturday and I'm driving down the street and I see a garage sale, I say, oh my goodness, Sherry Harris, where are you? Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Patsy. Thank you so much. I'm glad you think of me.
Oh, I do. I do, because first, I've always loved garage sales. And, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have garage sales. Nobody had anything to sell. Everybody was so poor, we didn't have any garage sales. And it was funny. I did, and then I moved to England, and one does not have garage sales in England. One does not do anything like that in public. And so I had been out of America for quite a few years, and it wasn't until we moved back, and I moved to Texas, and I'm living on this beautiful street on a golf course, and, you know, the houses are big and, you know, ranch style, Texas ranch style, big lawns, and I had never heard of a garage sale until one day, suddenly I see in front of this beautiful house all this junk out front. Say, what is going on? And they say, oh, she's having a garage sale. And then, of course,
that is so interesting.
You know, you just and also in England, you often don't even have garages, so they just don't have those. And so, I soon fell in love with garage sales because there were books at garage sales.
Yeah,
and I started haunting the things. But when I first read your first book, they said, oh my goodness, and that was Tagged for Death, and that was an Agatha Award nominated book, best first novel thing. And I read Tagged to Death, and I love it. Not only now do I have to go to a garage sale looking for books, which is practically the only thing I ever buy at a garage sale, I'm looking for the odd dead body under a table. If there's a table with a tablecloth, I sort of peek underneath. Okay. I live in hope, Sherry. You have me living in hope of finding a body at a garage sale.
Well, I hope you don't, because it would probably be pretty horrifying.
But yeah, but it would be.
Maybe you'll find some other wonderful treasure.
That's it. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have to say, you get better and better, but this last one, okay, it's called Let's Fake a Deal. I don't even want to tell people. I don't want to tell people what happens in that first chapter, because it is so funny. As I'm reading it, I start cracking up. and my jaw's hurting. And it is a Sarah Winston garage sale mystery. So there is Sarah, and she is in her carpenter's apron. And from there, all hell breaks loose. And it is so funny. I think every once in a while, I'm just going to read that first chapter. Just to experience that the joy of laughing so hard that your jaw aches.
glad that you enjoyed it that much.
Oh, I did, and I will say then I thought it was so funny. I could see Sarah in that predicament. It didn't surprise me too much, and then we go on, and then we get to chapter three. I'm going to read a line from chapter three. Where's chapter three?
Okay.
And this cracked me. It's like I could see Sarah. And she is being asked for a reason to step through a door. And she says, and I could just see her face and hear her voice, "I'm not going in there." I laugh so hard. Oh, I thought, well, there are so many, I don't know, you have so many funny things in this book. And of course, it's very serious. I mean, after all, it is a very serious cozy mystery about a very serious subject. it's just great.
I'm glad it made you laugh because while murder is a serious subject, I try to put some humor in the book to balance that.
You balance. Okay.
Well, thank you. That you're making my day, Patsy.
Well, let's go back a little, and you can tell people about Sarah while I'm thinking about that first chapter. And seeing her in a certain position. You tell us, who the heck is Sarah Winston? Why is she so funny?
So Sarah is a recently divorced woman that was a wife to an Air Force officer. So she never really had a career. When they get divorced, she doesn't know how she's going to make a living, and she's helping a friend set up a garage sale because she always loved going to them and throwing them. And a woman comes to the garage sale and says, "Who helped you with this garage sale? It's so well organized." And her friend goes, "Oh, this is my friend Sarah, and she organizes garage sales for people." Sarah's taken aback, but goes along with it, and a new business is born and a way to support herself.
Oh, boy. And let's just say, so this is what is this book, the seventh?
Eighth? It is the seventh.
Seventh book.
So, yeah.
So, so far, she's managed to come across a few bodies along the way.
Yeah.
And a lot of adventures. And I must say, you know, it's so funny as, you know, for me, a garage sale is equivalent to a book sale. And that's
right.
You know, most people, you know, you get there to a garage sale and people are looking at all the crystal and all. And I'm heading for the boxes where I know the books are in the hopes of finding some treasure. Because you never know. And so you manage to, you know, to bring that in. To bring that aspect in. So just what do you want to tell about this story? But we're not going to tell what happens in the first chapter.
Okay. Oh, it's hard to do that without talking about that. One of the things that motivated this book and that first chapter and what follows is I have a friend who's a retired detective sergeant from the Portland Police, the Maine Police Department, Bruce Coffin, and I was just questioning him about some procedural things, and he encouraged me to go ahead with the first chapter and what happens next as far as the police go. And so it was really, really helpful. And then the other thing is I have a good friend that was a career military officer. She served for 23 years. And she just said, you know, you talk about aspects of the military in your books, but you've never done anything on with a story about a woman that serves in the military because there's a lot of challenges. So we went to lunch and we talked and kind of came up with the other storyline that does surround the person that's murdered. So it was really interesting to talk to these two people and pick their brains and be inspired by them to write this book.
Well, I love the military aspect. Of course, Sarah's background is, who is her ex-husband?
His name is D.J. Hooker. And in the first book, they still both live in the same town. And he's the chief of police, which gets her into all kinds of trouble in that first book.
That's for sure. But I love the military aspect of this book.
Thank you. It's really been great for me to share that part of my life. And I've been so happy that I've gotten lots of letters from people saying how much they appreciate that I'm using, you know, pointing out some of the struggles military families especially face, and also just people that have reviewed the book and said, I don't know much about the military, and it's interesting to learn about this. And obviously, it's kind of a subplot usually, but it's important for people to understand the life, which is wonderful and difficult.
Absolutely. And you just handle it so beautifully in this book. And I want to mention that I mentioned the previous book, which was your last book, which was The Gun Also Rises, which is a book that, one, it touched on a subject that I very much, I've always had in the back of my mind. And this is The Lost Suitcase of Ernest Hemingway.
Right.
Every time I was in Paris, I would think about that. You know, where is it? I'll find it. And I haunted there. I haunted the flea market. And that's what they do in England. They have flea markets. And in Europe, they have flea markets because they just don't do anything like that in front of their houses. They'd be ashamed to do that.
Right.
Americans will put out the weirdest things in front of their houses. I mean, I've seen people, you know, with boxes of underwear. Excuse me, you know, what? It's crazy. You people are crazy. But and one would not do that in England. One might bring it to the flea market. So I always was looking for that Ernest Hemingway suitcase. And I really enjoyed the book, which is called The Gun Also Rises. And we have a little treat here for you we're going to play. Now listen to this, okay?
Okay, great.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz mystery. The Gun Also Rises by author Sherry Harris. It's the latest in the Sarah W. Garage Sale Mystery Book Series. Here's the buzz. A wealthy widow has asked Sarah Winston to sell her massive collection of mysteries through her garage sale business. While sorting through piles of books stashed in this woman's attic, Sarah is amazed to discover a case of lost Hemingway stories stolen from a train in Paris back in 1922. How the heck did they end up in Belle Winthrop Granville's attic in Ellington, Massachusetts, almost 100 years later? Before Sarah can get any answers, Belle is assaulted, the case is stolen, a maid is killed, and Sarah herself is dodging bullets. And when rumors spread that Belle is a limited edition of The Sun Also Rises in her house, Sarah is soon mixed up with a mobster, the fanatical League of Literary Treasure Hunters, and a hard-to-read rare book dealer. With someone too willing to kill for Hemingway, Sarah has to race to catch the culprit, or the bell may toll for her. Wowzer! Sherry Harris is the author of the Agatha Award-nominated first novel, Tagged for Death. Well written and well executed, The Gun Also Rises by author Sherry Harris is a definite winner. For more of my suggestions on the books you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
What a fabulous surprise to hear that. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, Rita Moreau does these little book buzzes for me. And we were, of course, she writes Cozy Mysteries. And when we got to the Sarah Winston mysteries, she said, oh, my goodness, it's so funny and it's so good. And, of course, it also a subject dear to her heart, because we do live in hope of finding some treasure at a garage sale. And she just enjoyed that so much.
Oh, that's great. That was lovely. I had such a great time writing that book. I really didn't know about the Hemingway manuscripts until I just started digging around and found out it's such a well-known story. But it was so interesting to imagine what could have happened to those. I'm sure the reality is more like somebody saw this great suitcase, tossed the papers in it, and kept the suitcase. But it's fun to think about what could have really happened.
Well, I've always thought that somebody, you know, it was somebody poor stole it and then stuffed them into the wall, you know, into a hole in a wall to where they had a draft, you know, a drafty, one of those old drafty, you know, attic rooms upstairs.
Yeah.
And so I live in hope. I've been sort of like, I'd like to rip that wall open. It seems to me like that would have been you never
someday
know.
Somebody's going to remodel and pull those out. I love that, Patsy. That would be great.
And, of course, it's all around also the story of The Sun Also Rises, a very important edition.
Right.
I love that you bring the mob into it.
It's my perhaps fairy tale version of the mob instead of what the mob is actually
Yes, it is. Well, I mean, it is a cozy mystery, and I must say I do love the idea of having a mob lawyer ready to come and rescue you from jail. You know, I think it's rather nice.
Yes, we all need somebody to rescue us at times in our lives.
Yes.
So why not a handsome-looking lawyer, right?
Yes, exactly. So this is the whole thing about your books. You develop these interesting characters, you know, that fill in the book and make it so much fun to read.
Oh, good. I've really enjoyed so. Mike the Big Cheese Titone, in the first two books, was just a name that was mentioned, and all of a sudden in the third book, he started talking. And he's become a fixture in Sarah's life, for better or worse.
Well, in this one, I think it was definitely better. It was definitely better. As I said, it's nice to have, if you're going to make one call, it is nice to have somebody who's going to show up in an expensive suit and rescue you.
Yes.
All of the ideas that you have that you, I don't know. I forget sometimes that you're just, you know, just a person probably sitting in a room writing these books. I start to think of you as Sarah, and I'm wondering if you're organizing garage sales. And
I have done a few garage sales. I don't live too far from Donna Andrews, who writes the wonderful Meg Lanslow series, and she was having a garage sale, so I went over and helped her with it, and actually some of the things that happened at that garage sale are in Let's Fake a Deal, so it's hard work doing a garage sale, but also you find things, like people were actually having fights over things at this garage sale, and it was just so interesting to watch. Nothing seems worth it to me to have an argument over. But anyway, it was very interesting. So I incorporated some of that in Let's Make a Deal.
Well, I only had one time a garage sale. But that just convinced me of one thing. One, I'll never have another garage sale. Because it's a lot of work to put your stuff out there.
It is. I agree.
And two, things that you think are worth something, people want to pay 50 cents for. And
right.
I got so annoyed. And third, I said to myself, I'm never going to buy anything plastic again because I had so much plastic stuff. And I said, at least if I'm going to buy stuff, I'm going to buy really expensive stuff that will never go on a garage sale.
Yes,
because I don't have the nerves for it. But what's the funniest thing that you do some of your research by going to garage sales?
I do. I love to go to garage sales. It's a lot more fun than throwing one. In fact, after the last one I helped with, I just decided Sarah deserved a nap after the garage sale instead of having to go out sleuthing immediately again. So one of the very interesting things that we found at Donna Andrews' garage sale was a necklace that was a mourning necklace, a Victorian mourning necklace. And people used to snip their loved one's hair and put it in a locket kind of thing, glass on one side and, you know, silver, gold on the other. But this one wasn't just a snipped piece of hair. It was intricately woven, and it was just amazing. And fortunately, we found it before somebody bought it.
Huh. You know, it's nowadays one could find something like that, and with DNA analysis, could find the owner, all the relatives, right?
Right. And she's fairly certain it's one of her relatives, but didn't really have anybody at that point to ask. Some of the fun things, my whole house is filled with things I've found at garage sales or flea markets or antique stores. And I have this beautiful white bench that was part of the San Francisco Expo in the World's Fair in the 1920s. And I found that when we were living out in Monterey. And it's one of my favorite pieces.
Oh, I love garage sales. And I do, after I searched through the books, I have not yet found a first edition Hemingway. You know, I live in hope. But I do check them out. And then I go and I look at the pottery in the hopes that I'm going to find a Ming Dynasty. But I think most of the stuff that I've picked up like that looks like it could be Ming Dynasty has actually turned out to be some kid's school project or something they whipped up at summer camp. And I said, oh, gosh, I don't have any luck. But I think people will have the best luck with a garage sale simply by reading your books, because every one of them is great.
Oh, thank you so much, Patsy.
I mean, I really thought, as I said, you know, I don't know. I just, when I get to this one, and it is called Let's Fake a Deal. It is just, I keep wanting to turn to the third. You know, it's sometimes, you know, I get stuck often on the first chapter of a book. But when I get to the third chapter and she says, I'm not going in there. I'm not going in there. You have to read this book to find out where in that world Sarah is not willing to go.
Yes, because she's pretty much usually very adventurous.
Exactly.
Willing to do almost anything.
And she's not willing to go there, but you have to be willing to go. And this is published by Kensington.
Yes.
And Kensington is a great publisher. Wonderful covers they do for you.
Oh, I love the covers. They've just done such a fabulous job with them.
They have. They are just absolutely the very, very best. They do Carol J. Perry's books, and they do your books. They capture the story so beautifully. And so I want everyone to go out and get Sherry Harris, Let's Fake a Deal. You can start with this one, and then you'll want to go back and really do some binge reading and go through all 7 books. Okay, Sherry?
Yes, thanks so much for having me, Patsy. It's always delightful to talk to you.
And what's your website and things where people find you?
My website is SherryHarrisAuthor.com, and I'm Sherry Harris on Instagram. I'm on Twitter and Facebook, and so I always love to talk to fans of books, not just about my books, but anybody's books. So thank you again for having me.
Okay, well, it's been a joy to talk to you, Sherry, and I'm going to read that first chapter again just to feel that, you know, not too many books actually make your jaw ache. That's a great compliment, Sherry. That's a great compliment. You can put
Thank
it on a blurb.
So
it makes Patsy with a Z jaw ache.
I am going to do that.
Okay. Thanks again for joining me today. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. She's so good. Oh, I'm not going in there. When you read that line, you'll say, oh, my goodness, this is such a fun book. So, and again, I want to thank Rita Moreau for doing a wonderful book buzz for Sherry. I know that she really enjoyed hearing it, and I enjoy always, having Rita come in here. She's Radio Rita, and she's just terrific. And she's working on a new series, and it's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. And as all of you know, this is one of the joys, like you hear today. First, I have a poet who touches your heart with a wonderful, wonderful poem called I Am America. And John Steffler is a great poet, and I hope that you will check out that book at Barnes & Noble. And Sherry Harris, all her garage sale mysteries are called Sarah Winston Garage Sale Mysteries, and it's real easy. And just check them out, and they're just lots of fun. And also, you learn a lot about how to conduct a garage sale. She's got a lot of great tips in there. So if you're going to have a garage sale, you'll want to read her books and get some ideas on how to label things. I did everything wrong because that's why I will never do a garage sale again. But I will read more of Sherry Harris's books, and I'm sure she's working on one, and she'll be back on the program soon. Next week, of course, it's going to be David Baldacci. Oh, I'm so excited. Anyway, everybody, remember what I tell everyone all the time. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, someone will pick them up and you will hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. And next thing you know, you will have your book will be a film, a streaming video, or maybe, if you're lucky, a series on Hallmark Channel. Wow! Think of that. That would be fantastic. And of course, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. He's always so helpful, and he's so good, and he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him. Thank you, Big Ed, for everything. And everyone, just have an absolutely wonderful day. Bye-bye now.